Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. You know, back in the day, before the 24/7 news cycle, when there wasn't television, maybe radio, maybe not, when somebody you knew came to town, or maybe even a stranger came to town from someplace else, everybody would crowd around them and say, "What's going on in the outside world?" Well, our guest today is Rich Sutton, and whenever he comes to town, we want to find out what is happening. So welcome back to the mics, Rich.
Thank you very much. And lots of happening.
Lots of happening. We're going to bend your ear, or you're going to bend ours, but would you lead us in a word of prayer?
I would love to. Oh, Father in heaven, as we get a chance to voice our opinions here and to share the stories, they're your stories, Lord. And I just love the thought that you're in control and that you run a universe and that you can take care of us here, right here at Strong Tower Radio. So bless this conversation and may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're here at the Michigan Conference for Camp Meeting, an annual gathering of Christians that want to know more about Jesus. They want to hear the stories. And one of the speakers this morning talked about the fact that he shared the story of Joseph. And bottom line is, Joseph told his brothers, after all that had happened, God is in control. And Rich, you're going to be telling us about how God is in control. No matter what the world does, God is in control. We have at least three different geographical areas that we could talk about. Cuba is on top of everybody's want-to-know list, Mexico Mission, and Bolivia. But starting with Cuba, what's going on in Cuba?
What you're reading and what you're hearing is very true. I haven't seen anything that has come across the news that is not true.
It's as bad as it's being reported.
It's as bad and worse than what's being reported. And so as we just give you a little nutshell of what that looks like, we have some friends here, Elliot and Yami are from Cuba, and they just come to join us at camp meeting. They love camp meeting here, and they have two girls that are still in Cuba. So the Cuban government knows that they're coming back,
right?
And so they're able to come to America in this time. But Elliot has been a real blessing to me throughout the 3-4 years that I've known him.
How has he helped?
He's very trustworthy.
Okay.
I can give him money to do something, and he does it. And he keeps track of all my money. He doesn't use anything. He keeps track of my tools, and he uses those. I have containers there with tools in them, and he makes sure if they use them, they get back. If they wreck them, he lets me know so that I can replace them. But that's Elliot. And not only that, other pastors in America will send him money.
What is the exchange rate?
I don't know. I think it's 650 right now to one.
U.S. dollar?
Yeah, what it's doing is every week it's getting worse. Every week. It just, but it's nice to have someone on the ground like Elliot that can carry things through. We are actually looking at buying some property for our block machine, and I'll tell you about those things. But Elliot is able to buy the land, keep it to his name, and he's trustworthy, Tom. These are so much of an ingredient because I could lose everything, but I don't, because we have godly men, godly women that are giving up everything. They could leave, but they're not, because of Jesus Christ and the work going forward.
Because their concern is for the people, their people.
Their people and the gospel. He works for the conference. And so he takes care of the tourists, if you want to say, all the presidents or all the people that come down to his conference. He's in charge to make sure they can eat, they can get around. He's that individual.
So the exchange rate somewhat is, what is their denomination?
Pesos.
So it's mm-hmm. 650 roughly, and it changes.
It does.
Fluctuates.
It does.
And so things are tough. It's interesting. Where do you want to go? You talked about land, but talk about the house, the garages that you're building that people
I'd really like
can
to
worship?
Talk about the people, okay. If I could for a moment.
Sure, please.
They love the Lord. Our people are so helpful. At first, they didn't really understand Americans because of the propaganda. But now, that's all gone. They really love us. They can help us. And they're willing to. They're willing to not only put up with us, but to push the gospel forward. But they're in such need. We'll bring glasses down, and there'll
optical
be
optical glasses.
Yeah, just Dollar Tree, whatever we can get our hands on, we bring. And there's lines and lines of people that are just wanting the glasses. We send down food, and beans and rice and in the container, and they bag it up and they sip it to all the people that are all around. And I was up on a hill and Sabbath afternoon, and we were just kind of chilling out. And a guy came up to me and he said, "Do you have any glasses?" I said, "I do." I said, come with me to the conference." And he wasn't an Adventist. He's a Christian. He said, "But we need food more than glasses." I said, "Well, I have that too. We put that in the container. They have the clothes, the shoes, the underwear. I mean, it just gets right down. They have nothing." So people are asking, what do they need? They need everything. And honestly, I'm bringing it down. I'm putting it in the container. And the government has not ever charged me a dime. No taxes, nothing. They've never taken anything out of the containers.
This is unusual.
Unusual, I would think.
Because people are so hungry and everybody's trying. The economy is so poor. It's not only poor, but it's been extended for how long has it been this way?
The 4 years that I've been there, it's been getting worse and worse. I don't think it can get any worse than what it is right now. I keep thinking that. You would think thievery, they would take my stuff. They would at least charge me something, but they don't. They have to unload my whole container, inventory it, and then I get to put it back together. And so you would think, well, doing that process, things are coming missing.
Shrinkage, it's called in store.
Yes. Nothing. Everything goes back in, and we can ship it. And so once in a while, they'll ask me, "Hey, can we have some beans? Can we have some rice?" And of course.
Now the fact that you're asking.
Yeah, no problem, And we just love the people. That's what I want to convey the most, is that the gospel is ripe. And so the churches are growing. The churches we're building are being filled. We're having baptisms on every front, if you want to say. And for instance, now fuel is $40 a gallon.
$40.
Yeah, we're whining about $5.
They're
at $40, and they make a doctor makes $54 a month.
$54 or 54 pesos.
And a pastor, $24.
In U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars.
Okay.
And this is U.S. dollars, $40 a gallon. And it's on the black market, and you can't get it. So I had built seven churches or garages or houses, however we want to disclose those, and at Christmas. But my container didn't make it in time. So
I remember that.
I shipped the container. It just took a while to get through the port. And then it was able to come. I had a group ready to go, but the fuel cost so much that I had the brothers, they got together, they put the roofs on, and Tom, they charged me $1,500 for all those roofs, all the miles, all those people, and they were thrilled to be able to do the help. That's Cuba. That's the brothers that are there. And
brings out the best and the worst.
It does, and they really care. They really want us to help, and in helping, they're blessed, and we are blessed to work together in that light.
Where do you want to go next?
I would like to talk about the block machine if
okay.
I could. Just prior to the block machine, we are able to purchase all those Bibles. We got 20,000 Bibles.
20,000.
And we started working on that last camp meeting.
And a year ago,
and people started giving and started helping, but we were able to buy them out of Spain, and they're good quality, and they were able to go there right to the union. Everything was donated to the union. The union has split those up.
That's the organization, the regional organization of the church down
there. Yes, yes. Everything is donated to the union. And it's given to the church. Everything I do, all the buildings, all the material.
So you work through the organized church?
Yes, we do. I love that part. And so as the Bibles were there, Maranatha was also able to put 20,000 Bibles.
So 40,000.
At the same time. And so Elliot was thrilled because he's the colporter ministry leader of the of his conference. And they all got Bibles. The new people that are just studying, they never get Bibles. Well, they did this time. And the Bible workers have Bibles now. And so, Tom, that thrills me. Because and in the back of our Bibles are the Bible study helps. And so
they don't get lost.
They don't get lost, and they just really... I remember when I first became an Adventist, Bible Readings for the Home Circle was my book. I could just keep going over and over that book to know, how did this work? What is it? You know, and it was all there, the Bible text, and that's what these Bibles are. So in addition to what we're talking about here, I've always had this burden on my heart for the literature work in Cuba, because there is none. You know,
Why isn't there?
Because they couldn't afford it. And when Cuba was, what would you call, before communism, it was alive and well. But when communism came, it just shut everything down. The cars, the buildings, everything. It just like...
The economy slowly and then picked up more rapidly, spiraled down.
And there's no industry. There's no farming. There's no food. There's no incentive. They have a garden, and the government comes in and steals it. And so...
We have to give that to somebody else, and so growing extra doesn't benefit you.
It doesn't benefit them. And that I have a friend that did the honey, and he brought us some honey. It was really good. And but he says, you know, I only get 10% of my honey. The government gets the rest.
90% of you.
Yeah. And if you have cattle, okay, you can only milk them. You cannot kill them. If you kill a cow, it's 20 years in prison for killing a cow. Well, what about if you're going to eat one? No, you can't eat one. It's 20 years in prison for killing a cow. It's just amazing what's going on there. And they live under those circumstances. They can milk it, but they only get a percentage of the milk. The government gets the rest. And so back to the block machine.
Right.
We are able to, it's very difficult to get good blocks in Cuba.
These are concrete blocks.
Concrete blocks, holes.
Two holes, and were they 8 inches high?
Mm-hmm, 8 by 16.
Okay.
A normal block. But if you drop it, it breaks.
It just doesn't have any resilience.
I don't know how they unload the blocks, honestly, because they break so easily. And so so I was able to purchase a block machine. And I thought, well, they'll never let me bring this to Cuba. And they do. They did. They allow me to get it. I've already got it in Orgin. And so it's already sitting in a container. And so what I'm planning on doing is putting two containers kind of side by side with a distance of 20 or 30 feet between.
Right.
And having the block machine, of course, in between, and being able to come up with a good industry. I will buy their blocks from them. The gravel, the water, the cement is all there. It's available.
It's readily available.
Yeah, so we'll be able to do good blocks that'll be commercial grade, and that...
So your quality control's increased, and your cost of the blocks and the availability increases.
And then, so we're looking at property right now for that block machine. But we're finding with the block machine, we really want to do a Bible training program with that on the same property. And so we'll be able to build the houses and then have employment for those folks.
Create industry.
Yeah.
So they can be self-sustaining and get out of this poverty cycle.
And
it's a systemic. It's not individual. It's a systemic poverty.
It is. We saw in Cuba when we, on the street, there was ovens for making bread, but they couldn't get the product. They couldn't get the material. Yeah. And when they did, there was great big long lines. And I thought, wow, what would be ideal for us to be able to have that industry, bread making? And because we could send all the ingredients down in the containers like we've been doing, and then they would have another industry. We're just looking at different things that we could... be able to help. We send sewing machines down, and they can sew. their clothes, because again, everything's getting wore out. And so we send a lot of clothes down. People, I have trailer full of stuff that people are just giving me. And here at camp meeting, brother, they're bringing it. They're bringing them by the bags. And they say, oh, can you use it? I'll take it. I'll take it. We're just loading it up, taking it back to our warehouse in Georgia and shipping it next month.
Wow.
So, but back to the block machine, you know, it's a blessing, and people helped me buy it. It was $20,000, but it's going to reap great results from just what we can do here in Cuba and the building of the buildings.
Is there anything more about Cuba you want to touch base on?
Well, the spiritual.
Okay.
If I could say, we just finished this Christmas building 7 new projects, if I could say, and the pastor, the conference president, when we went there, this is to Santiago. Well, they just had hurricanes come through.
Oh yeah.
And it was a mess, you know, and so he was thinking that we would overwhelm them by bringing a
You'd
group
be
in.
More burden than
yes,
benefit.
Yeah, he didn't realize that. You know, we just stay locally. We help people. We bring all the food with us.
It's like you have a bunch of guests come over, and when they're done, you say, "Wow, I'm glad they're gone."
Yeah, yeah.
They were glad to see you.
Oh, they were. But it took a little while. They didn't realize what we could do and how we were building, and the Health Expo, the VBS, the glasses, and the buildings. And so, and when we finished, there was a group from Atlanta, the Romanian people that came. Okay. And Tom, they usually, when they come, they usually stay in the resort areas, and they finish my churches in Mexico. So they put the floors, the windows and doors, and they finish the tile. They do beautiful work, but they finish all my churches. He said, I want to come to Cuba and finish your churches. Well, when they got there, there was no electricity. There was no fuel, and he couldn't finish my churches. So you know what they did?
What'd they do?
They preached. They preached instead, because they're Spanish speaking, and they had over 100 baptisms in just that short time, and they're filling up my churches. Now they're coming back, and they're saying, you know, Rich, we're not going to finish your churches anymore. We're just going to come back and preach and bring food and bring things for the people. And so it's fun to watch them catch that glow, that light of what the gospel can do for people.
You know, there's a passage in Scripture that says you can do nothing against the gospel, but for the gospel.
Yes.
Seems to apply.
It does. It does. And so the conference president, when I first came, of Orgeen, he said to Elliot, you make sure you do everything Rich says, because they're going to kick him out of the country really quick. If he can finish those 4 churches, it's going to be a miracle. Well, brother, I think we're at over 40, you know,
wow.
And they haven't bothered us in the least now. We can come and go. They don't challenge me as they used to, and I'm not sure why, but I got a good idea. There's a God in heaven that watches my steps. He says he's my forward and my rearward. Amen?
Amen.
And so, again, with my granddaughter coming, she came late. And so she didn't get the religious visas that we all have. With a religious visa, you're allowed legally to preach, to work, to do what we're doing. But if you have a tourist visa, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to stay in the conference offices. You got to stay in a hotel and different things like this. And the hotels you got to stay in, they have to be not provided by the government. America makes sure that you're not helping the government in any way. And so we make sure. But with Sierra, because she's my granddaughter, she could stay with me at the conference office legally, but she couldn't interpret, she couldn't say anything. She was at a health expo the next day. We got there the next day, and all she is helping the people, and she's speaking Spanish, of course. Somebody reported her. They already had gone to the conference in one day and told them about Sierra. And so she couldn't talk. She was just shut. She had to shut right up. And I think, wow, you know, who would really care about a kid?
Right.
Well, we're at a church service, and we're ready, and we have an interpreter, but he's not doing real well. Sierra is great, you know? And so they said, well, can't Sierra do it? I said, no, she can't, because we already rented the. And the brother, the elder, says, oh, no, it's safe here. She can. Tom, they know who the informants are and who they aren't.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be tough to live in that situation where they know? And so I don't know. So I'm very careful. I try to be careful of what we're doing and where we are. But the brothers, they know. And so they're always helping us moving forward. So that's the block machine. We're looking for land. We're looking at starting a school. The young people have, they have nothing to do. Well, now they will, you know. And we're looking at not only starting it, this would be a pilot program in Orgeen. Mm-hmm. In Santiago, they're ready for us to come and to do the youth rush there. And then Havana, I'm just keep providing the books, you know. We're shipping them in. And by God's grace, the work will go forward. I just love our conference, our people. They're willing to help. If they had some books laying around, they just donate them to me. And I'm able to put them in the containers and ship them. They're not using them right now.
Talking about the Michigan conference?
Yes, oh, yes, wow. Yes. And they have the Youth Rush bags. They're giving those to me. And then they're planning on coming over in December and take groups with them and show the kids how to knock on doors, how to help, how to get the programs ready.
Wow.
And then yesterday, I went to Remnant Publishing. And
that's a Christian publishing house.
Oh, man, they're beautiful people. And they have books that they haven't used. They're willing to donate those to us to help us go forward. This church is beautiful, I'm telling you. You know, as you know.
Yes, yes.
But we're all in one purpose. And I'm a layperson. I'm an independent minister, if you want to say. But my goal is to preach this gospel. And this is the church also in that light. Tom, it's going everywhere.
That's
right. I'm seeing people. We're not the only ones. Other people are buying up houses for the purpose of churches in Cuba. I don't even know them. And they're doing it, you know. They started a music school in Orgeen. I sent the music instruments in. A group from Goebbels, Michigan, had a bunch of instruments. So I just threw them in the container. They got a school going, and they're winning souls over that. So that music school is duplicating. They're going to Santiago. I'm sending down more music instruments. And they're doing it the same thing that they did in Orgeen in Santiago.
Absolutely amazing. Used to be that we always talked about Mexico.
I know.
So Mexico is not left behind.
No, we're still going. We just came out of there and we built another 6 or 7 churches and the thing with Mexico, it's easier to get to. The only problem that I do have is when I bring a group of 60 or 70 people, it's a little more difficult to the schools. I got to make sure I do it during that break or this break, but they have a big auditorium they just built. Showers, everything. But we stay in tents because I like the privacy. They have rooms. I like my tent. And so in Mexico, we still go, and we go to Cancun or Playa del Carmen right now, and especially now that the union has hired the conference treasurer. Now he's the union treasurer. He called me the other day and he said, Rich, we need 100 churches. Well, the Chiapas, I don't know if you know the Chiapas much. It's one of the fastest growing conferences, but it's one of the most dangerous conferences because of the
drug addiction.
Yeah. And while we were there in Mexico this year, there was a big uprising in Mexico, the cartel. The United States arrested some of the high-ups, and they rebelled. And they were shooting, I don't know if you remember or not, but they were shooting airplanes out of the sky and all that. And we were there at this time, and I'm thinking, whoa, you know. And so we usually have one shopping day. I didn't let them go shopping, you know, because of that. I just wanted the time to get them to the airport safely and get them flying out. We had breakfast that morning.
Okay.
And the brothers were there. And I said, hey, how dangerous is it out here? Oh, no, that's all over. I heard shooting in the night, and I heard sirens and the whole thing.
And you said, it's over?
Yeah, and I said, it's over, and these people can go. And they were. They went out. I kept them close. They went shopping. They had a wonderful time. We got in the bus, and we headed to the airport. And some of them wanted to go. They had an extra week. They wanted to go to Cancun beaches. And what. I said, no, man, no. You're under my watch. Let's get you home. And then if you want to come back, come
back.
You
can fly back on your own.
Yeah, in your own time. But right now, and they all really realize that, you know, this is not a vacation.
It's a serious.
This is serious stuff. And by God's grace, they're on the airplane and headed out, you know. But the sirens were real. The gunshots were real that night. And I just know that his angels encamp around about us and keep us safe, you know. And we didn't see anything that whole evening. It was just a lot of noise. But there's a God.
Amen.
In heaven. So
in our last couple minutes, talk about Bolivia.
So Jeff, when he was just a youngster.
That's your son.
That's my son. He started a school in Bolivia. And so it's kind of dear to my heart. It was grass huts, and we went down and built a real nice school. They have 75 to 100 kids at a time now at that school.
It's kind of a vocational, bivocational
training. Yes. And so now DJ Knott is there, and he bought some property. He said, Rich.
I interviewed him along the way.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful people. Yeah. Him and his wife, the kids. Rich, could you come and help? Well, what am I supposed to say? No. You know? And so, yes, we're going to go down in October and build some houses, four of them, and some a hangar. But, yeah, and Bolivia is not easy. They have, I don't know if he mentioned to you or not, but they have these blockades in the roads, and they just block off the road, and you can't get through. And they're very violent in those blockades. And so they want to get their way, and they get it quickly. Well, they're doing that right now, and the government is not buckling. So I'm not sure exactly what we're going to run into with Bolivia, but I do know this. If God calls, there's 12 hours in a day.
Yes.
Amen. So we just keep going, and God keeps blessing. So that's Bolivia. We're hoping to get the medical missionary work in that area because he has an airplane. He has these doctors and things that can come in. I care about souls in the kingdom.
Amen. Wherever they're at.
Yes. If God makes the opening. But Tom, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm getting a little older. You know?
You're the same age as 20 years ago. So.
So we're just pushing on. You know, we're just pushing on. But thank you for the interview. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
For the time.
As we close, any words of message share? If our listeners feel a burden, something's they've been watching it in the news and they said, I felt helpless, I want to do something about it, and they hear you today, do you have something that they can do?
I do. We have a lot of programs going, and we are safe. We try to not, we don't go out at night. I make sure where we are and how that works. So, and families. You know, now is the time to get your families involved in missions.
You did that for us.
Amen. And your kids love it. And these kids, I remember seeing Katie. She was just a young girl, and her and her mom are laying blocks. And Katie's spreading the mud. Okay. Now, she's 5 years old. I said to Katie, do you think you can build a church? She says, yes, I know I can. The next year, she brought her dad. And he was helping her. You know, Katie is a missionary. Laying blocks for Jesus.
Amen.
That's what I like to see with families. We are, and not only that now, Tom, we're also building churches here in Michigan.
Yes.
Remodeling them and helping people and having those churches come together as a family. It's so much fun to watch, like Kentwood or Misek. Misek has grown.
Phenomenally.
There were three of them, and now they're at 30, 35, you know.
And during camp meeting, they were open and the bigger Cadillac was closed.
So. All I'm saying is that come join us. If you can't do Mexico or can't do Cuba, Bolivia, hey, come to me with Misek or Kentwood. There's so many things to do, but do something.
How do they get involved?
Mexico Missions and Beyond.
Mexico Missions and Beyond.
Yes. Just.
Well, Rich, it's good to be with you, and whenever you're in town, like I opened up with, we're ready to listen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. And blessings to you at Strong Tower Radio.
Thank you. For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Mazur. God bless and be the missionary God wants you to be. Bye now.